Tim McGraw in a small town accent. Ain't no way to me in this truck made her fall in love. Jack makes good whiskey, but God makes the good stuff. 5'9", brown eyes and a sundress. Loves Tim McGraw in a small town.
Wisconsin's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7.
WIRI 105.5 FM, Wisconsin Rapids.
Out in the country, past the city limit sign, where there's a home near the counter line, the joint starts jumping every night when the sun goes down. They got whiskey, women, music and smoke. It's where all the cowboy folk go to boot scoot boogie. I got a good job, I work hard for my money. When it's quitting time, I hit the door running. I fire up my pickup truck, the horses run. I go flying down that highway to that hideaway, stuck out in the woods to do the boot scoot boogie. Yeah,
you told do-si-do.
Come on, baby, let's go boot scoot. Oh,
Cadillac blackjack,
baby, meet me out back. We're gonna boogie.
What'll it be? I want a shot of that redhead yonder looking at me. The dance floor's hopping and it's hotter than the 4th of July. I see outlaws and laws, crooks and straights, all out making it shake, doing the boot scoot boogie.
Stay right there a little bit longer. beneath the stars. We are on fire, and I don't wanna go if you don't wanna go. We can just stay here in this minute, lose all track of time. Let the world be known without us for a while. I'm telling you, we're just one kiss away from heaven. So baby, hold on tight, 'cause I want to get wrapped up in your love. So baby, let's just stay here tonight. Tonight, I just wanna linger like this on your lips. I taste the salt air on your skin.
Got rice cooking in the microwave. Got a 3-day beard I don't plan to shave. And it's a goofy thing, but I just gotta say, hey, I'm doing alright. Yeah, I think I'll make me some homemade soup. I'm feeling pretty good, and that's the truth. It's neither drink nor drug induced. No, I'm just doing alright. And it's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. There's some hard times in the neighborhood, but why can't every day be just this good? Oh, yeah. It's been 15 years since I left home. Said good luck to every seed I'd sown. Give it my best and then I left it alone. I hope they're doing all right. Now I look in the mirror and what do I see? A lone wolf there staring back at me. Long in the tooth but harmless as can be. Lord, I guess he's doing all right. And it's a great day. Sometimes it's lonely, sometimes it's only me and the shadows that fill this room. Sometimes I'm falling, desperately calling. I take my old Harley for a three-day cruise. Might even grow me a Fu Manchu. And it's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. There's some hard times in the neighborhood, but why can't every day be just this good? It's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. There's some hard times in the neighborhood, but why can't every day be just this good?
Take a shot that you're wide awake at a quarter to three. Maybe looking through your camera roll, the tequila's starting to take a toll. I was hoping, baby, maybe you'd be as messed up as me. And all alone, and all your friends have all gone home, and you hate that the truth is nobody leaves your head. Messed up as me. When you get mad, you stay that way, and you always say you're doing okay. But we both know it's probably a lie, and you fall into pieces on the inside. And you're out tonight like you always are. You're dressed to kill, and your lips are red, and misery still loves company. Are you as messed up as me? And all alone, and all your friends have all gone home, and you hate that the truth is nobody leaves your head and your heart and your bed and your sheets as messed up as me and you. And we used to paint this town, burn it down. She call you up and maybe take a shot that you're wide awake at a quarter to three. As messed up as me, and all alone, and all your friends have all gone home, and you hate that the truth is nobody leaves your head and your heart and your bed and your sheets. As messed up as me.
WIRI on your radio at 105.5 FM and wherever you are with the free Civic Media app. Download it now in the Google Play or App Store.
Thank you. Maybe I'll dye my hair. Maybe I'll move somewhere. Maybe I'll get a car. Maybe I'll drive so far they'll all lose track. Me, I'll bounce right back. Maybe I'll sleep real late. Maybe I'll lose some weight. Maybe I'll clear my junk. Maybe I'll just get drunk on apple wine. Me, I'll be just fine and dandy. Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow. But still I won't let sorrow bring me way down. I'll be fine and dandy. Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow. But still I won't let sorrow bring me way down. Maybe I'll learn to sew. Maybe I'll just lie low. Maybe I'll hit the bars. Maybe I'll count the stars until the dawn. Me, I will go on. Maybe I'll settle down. Maybe I'll just leave town. Maybe I'll have some fun. Maybe I'll meet someone and make him mine. Me, I'll be just fine and dandy. Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow. But still I won't let sorrow bring me way down. I'll be fine.
Country 105.5 WIRI on your radio at 105.5 FM and wherever you are with the free Civic Media app. Download it now in the Google Play or App Store.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Few things are more scary than a heart attack. It can mean sudden death. But research by a top cardiologist reveals a routine habit we can follow that will boost our odds of survival.
That's like an insurance policy, so to speak. If you were to unfortunately suffer a heart attack, it makes it much more likely that it'll be less significant, less fatal, and less likely to lead to disability later in life.
Then, innovative planning and design can make America's cities far more livable. We'll talk to an urban design expert to get the story.
We were really focused on, you know, the maintenance of our streets, and the idea of plazas or bike share or anything like that was certainly not on the agenda, but it was on the horizon.
Those two interviews and much more are coming your way on this week's show. InfoTrack begins right after this.
Harbor Freight knows tool people like to keep busy. But with our Black Friday sale now through Monday, you'll want to free up some time. We're talking deals like our 5,000-watt generators under $800, 17-foot ladders for $99.99, and 40% off Icon Pro socket sets. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until 12/2/24. While supplies last, limitations apply.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up. You can go farther and save on full synthetic with our oil change special. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $33.99. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
It's the most wonderful time of the year on Pluto TV. Get all your holiday favorites absolutely free. Cozy up with festive classics like Bad Santa 2 and Scrooged to get you in the holiday spirit. Plus, heartwarming movies from Lifetime and Hallmark movies and more holiday favorites. Explore entire channels guaranteed to spread the cheer with bright lights, festive fireplaces, and the holiday music you love. We've got something for everyone. Season's greetings from Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
Let's face it, winter can be a hard season. It's cold pretty much all the time. Blizzard. You have to shovel. Another blizzard. You slip on ice. But you know what makes winter suck a little less? Getting a free phone. Join Cricket Nation and get a free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G. Ooh, ouch. Welcome to enjoying more. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. Must open a new line on the $60 unlimited plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
How can we improve our odds of survival should a heart attack suddenly strike? Research reveals the surprising answer. With the story, here's InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. We're talking with Dr. Michael Blaha, a preventative cardiologist at the Ciccarone Center for the Prevention of Heart Disease at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, and he recently led a study that examined the long-term benefits of regular physical exercise. Dr. Blaha, welcome to InfoTrack.
Thanks for having me.
So how many Americans get enough exercise?
Not enough, unfortunately. The most recent statistics would say that, unfortunately, less than half of all Americans get the prescribed amount of exercise that leads to the heart benefits we like to see. So I would say that more than half of your listeners probably are not getting the amount of exercise they need.
So you were studying the long-term benefits. Just tell us exactly what you were studying.
Well, in this particular study, it was interesting. We were looking at exercise habits and physical fitness levels well before one would suffer a heart attack. Then we looked at those people who went on to suffer a heart attack, and we looked to see if people lived longer after their heart attack, if they were regular exercisers or were more fit years prior. We found that in those people unfortunate enough to have a heart attack were fortunate if they were exercisers or were physically fit, and they survived their heart attacks much better.
So in other words, if you work out, your survivability of a heart attack is better.
That's right. And this is an important message for people with, let's say, family histories of heart disease or people who are known to have an elevated risk of heart disease. We like to tell those patients that if you exercise now and achieve an optimum level of physical fitness now, that's like an insurance policy, so to speak. If you were to unfortunately suffer a heart event, a heart attack, for example, it makes it much more likely that that'll be less significant, less fatal, and less likely to lead to comorbidities or disability later in life.
And there are far more benefits to exercise than just cardiovascular health, right?
Oh, absolutely. So in our studies, for which we look at a lot of different outcomes, we've looked at survival in general from all causes, including cancer. We've looked at survival from causes that are related to diabetes or survival that are causes that are related to hypertension, or also things like arrhythmias of the heart. So whether it be from cancer or diabetes or all the cardiovascular causes, physical fitness achieved earlier in life leads to better survival and less problems from each of those causes later in life, including better survival and prevention of cancer.
Presumably, someone who has worked out their entire life is still going to have a head start over someone who begins exercising at age, for example, 50.
That's right. The good thing is, even at age 50, if one were not as physically fit as they would like to be, research certainly shows that with an exercise program that's safe and well done, one can achieve a more optimal level of physical fitness in a reasonably short amount of time that's readily attainable for many people. So while it's certainly better to exercise earlier in life, no doubt, it gives you more years of protection, it is always okay to start exercising later as well, and you will still accrue benefits.
Now, you mentioned a reasonable amount of time. That's a good question for a lot of people, because let's say someone has been diagnosed with high blood pressure and they're hoping to lower it through exercise. What's a reasonable amount of time that they should see some noticeable differences?
If they're exercising most days of the week for, let's say, 12 to 24 weeks, they will almost certainly start to see many changes, I guess, in their body, including lowering their blood pressure by at least a couple points. Likely, if their eating doesn't change and they're exercising, as we mentioned, they'll probably start to see a few pounds drop off their waist. They'll probably likely also see if their sugars are high, their sugars come down a few points. Other blood tests might also improve, but it includes, for example, a blood pressure, which we think will drop on the order of several points over that time if one really sticks with an exercise plan.
Now, you're describing a 3 to 6 month time frame. A lot of people are looking for instant success, aren't they?
People are interested in instant success. The good thing is they see benefits at different time points. I think you can start feeling better about yourself just about right away. I think most of my patients who start on a real intense, focused exercise plan tell me they start feeling better about themselves within a couple weeks, if not better, and their sleep might improve, their well-being might improve, their desire to eat healthy foods might improve. And that sometimes precedes the start of the measurables, like the weight change, the waist size reduction, the blood pressure reduction. But I think what can really drive people to stick with their plan is the way they feel about themselves. And that can include their mental health, their sexual health, social health. That all can improve very rapidly after starting exercise because it does give you that natural well-being.
So how much exercise is beneficial? And does that really mean a hardcore workout, or is lighter exercise good enough?
I'll say two things. We know that the more the better, and that even a little bit is good. So what I mean by more is better is that the more exercise you do, you still continue to accrue benefits. But that doesn't mean you need to do a lot to see some benefits. Even a little bit of exercise is better than none. In fact, studies have shown that just walking, in fact, walking on the order of 3 to 5 miles of total walking a day, which isn't much when you consider adding it up over the course of a whole day, can lead to marked health improvements. And that's separate from exercise. That's just walking. Then if one adds 1 to 2 days of exercise, what I mean by that is breaking a sweat, perhaps on a treadmill or jogging or even running, you can see added benefits on top of the walking. So just walking is better than nothing. A few days of jogging is better than just walking. And of course, running is better than jogging. And it really goes on like that. But you can see benefits just from turning from a couch potato into a regular walker.
Dr. Blaha, if you go to a gym, many of the machines, treadmills and so forth, have heart rate monitors built in. If someone is just trying to improve their cardiovascular fitness, is there a particular heart rate they should be at for a specified amount of time, or how does that work?
There's a lot of debate about that. I fixate a little less on the heart rate number than perhaps others would. It becomes more critical when it's really doing long-distance aerobic training, for example. Many of my patients are not in the situation of training for sport, for example. They're just trying to get physically fit. And I tell them I just like to see their heart rate get up, and I like to see them break a sweat, for example. And if you're really looking at a number, it'd be nice to get to 60% of one's max predicted heart rate and calculate that by 220 minus your age. Get at least above 60% of that, and you're probably going to reach that sweat. So there's lots of ways of calculating kind of the same concept. But it is good sometimes to track the heart rate just to make sure that one's getting vigorous enough of activity. But I think you'll find that one can achieve 60% of the max predicted heart rate without having to do heavy running, for example.
Was there one thing in particular that was surprising to you in this study?
The entire study that we're talking about is actually a long-term project we've done for years now looking at physical activity. And we've really now shown in a couple of different scientific papers now that physical activity and physical fitness prevents hypertension, prevents diabetes, prevents heart attack, death from any causes, and then this latest paper prevents death after a myocardial infarction, after a heart attack. The surprising thing, I think, about all of our studies is, number one, the strength of the association. Physical activity is even better than we thought. That's reassuring. Number two, I'm not sure many people were aware in our recent study of how important it is that if you do suffer a heart attack, your physical fitness will determine the survivability of that heart attack. And that comforts a lot of our patients who are really trying to avoid, let's say, the consequences that happen to their family members who died of a heart attack or something like that. If you could just limit that fatal heart attack to a smaller heart attack and then rehabilitate after that, that's an enormous win of itself. So the idea that physical fitness can lead to better survival, even in people who do have a heart attack, was pretty startling. And I think it's going to have a lot of people reconsidering what recommendations we make for their higher-risk patients. In fact, we're going to tell them to exercise just like everyone else.
So any final words of advice for someone who's listening to this and going, okay, I'd like to get started, but I'm not exactly sure how?
start with walking. If you don't do much physical activity throughout the day, i.e. you do a lot of screen time, start by walking. Start by getting perhaps a pedometer and measuring your steps and try to get to 10,000 steps a day. That's 5 miles total of walking a day. Everyone can do that. And that does not mean going to the gym and running. That just means walking throughout the day. So get to your 10,000 steps first and then start your exercise program. Start with about 2 days a week and moving to 4 to 5 days a week of vigorous physical activity, which can include treadmills or elliptical trainer or jogging or whatever your favorite activity is, including swimming. And that's the path to a sustainable physical activity plan that you'll enjoy doing.
Dr. Michael Blaha, preventative cardiologist from the Ciccarone Center for the Prevention of Heart Disease at Johns Hopkins Hospital. Dr. Blaha, is there any place online where you recommend people learn more?
I'd say there's a lot of good sources out there, and you can start with perhaps Johns Hopkins.
Well, thank you again for joining us on InfoTrack.
Thank you for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, redesigning America's cities can make them a lot more people-friendly. That story, coming up.
Stick around. There's more InfoTrack straight ahead.
Harbor Freight knows tool people like to keep busy. But with our Black Friday sale now through Monday, you'll want to free up some time. We're talking deals like our 5,000-watt generators under $800, 17-foot ladders for $99.99, and 40% off Icon Pro socket sets. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until 12/2/24. While supplies last, limitations apply.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a walk-up with central air and a skylight, and you found it. Now, every Friday night, you get to fall asleep to the sound of your downstairs neighbor's dance parties. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up. You can go farther and save on full synthetic with our oil change special. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $33.99. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
I got a line.
He got a line.
She got a line.
We got four lines. Cricket Nation. Cue finger guns. Really easy. Super stress-free. 5G so fast. Like blazing fast. Games and memes. You'll have a blast. You can get fast 5G across four lines. You can get fast 5G across four lines. As we discussed, take it from us. We four are one. Cricket Nation.
And only $25 a line. Welcome to more lines. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Discount varies by line. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Is it time to rethink and redesign the city streets of America to make them more practical and user-friendly? To answer the question, we welcome to InfoTrack the authors of Street Fight, Handbook for an Urban Revolution. And they are Jeanette Sadek Khan and Seth Solomonow. Jeanette, you were New York City Transportation Commissioner in the Bloomberg administration, and you implemented some of the ideas you're talking about here in New York City. Tell us about that.
Well, we laid down 400 miles of on-street bike lanes, created about 60 pedestrian plazas, launched 7 rapid bus routes, and the largest bike share system in the country. So it was a lot of transformation that happened in a short period of time and actually didn't cost a lot of money.
Did you have to cut through a lot of bureaucracy to get that done? I would imagine there was some resistance to these ideas.
Well, certainly everybody is very attached to the status quo. And when you change the status quo tends to push back pretty hard. And, you know, when you change a street, you take on a fight with people who naturally like it the way it is. And so it certainly required not just a new design vocabulary for the street, you know, the bike lanes and the plazas and the bus lanes, but it also required a new vocabulary for people to talk about these changes. And New Yorkers are now very fluent in the language of bike lanes and plazas and bike share and traffic calming in a way that they weren't before. So I think as much as we've seen a change on the street, as important is to see the culture change for people.
What were some of the signs you saw that told you that things could be improved? Perhaps road signs, so to speak, that told you that things weren't as good as they could be?
I think one of the most striking moments for me was I used to commute to work on the back of my husband's bike, and we'd ride down these streets, and they were covered in potholes, and it was very dangerous. I thought, wow, we could do such a better job. We were really focused on, you know, the maintenance of our streets, and the idea of plazas or bike share or anything like that was certainly not on the agenda, but it was on the horizon to implement a different program and a different way of carving out the space on our streets.
What were the impressions of these changes, if any, from retailers or, you know, store owners on these city streets?
When we first put down some of these projects, I think there was a period of adjustment where people were kind of scratching their heads wondering, you know, how does this work? And there was some concern from some of the retailers on the streets adjacent to the bike lanes that, you know, maybe people couldn't park there or that it would make it more difficult to get deliveries. But after the adjustment period, people really took to the changes, and it really helped the whole overall function of the street. A lot of these designs actually help retain parking. We were able to create new parking opportunities on some of the side streets. But even more importantly, the street opened up for people who are walking. It opened up for people who are biking. It made it easier for people to get up and down the street by bus. This at first seemed kind of anecdotal, but when we looked at the cash register receipts and the tax receipts from these businesses that were, you know, filed with the city, we found that these were actually really good for business. Better streets mean better businesses. People have better access. And it's actually a big return on the whole neighborhood. It's actually an investment in the economic well-being of a street.
Every city is different and has its strengths and weaknesses. You can actually use your local advantages, what makes your city unique, and leverage that to greater effect. And so it doesn't matter the size of the city, it doesn't matter the demographics of the city, but you can actually change your streets to make them work better. There have been really interesting examples of transformations around the world. Medellin in Colombia, which was mostly famous for, you know, the drug cartel and Pablo Escobar, has become this center of urban innovation with cable cars that they have connecting communities to the favelas in the hills, and the work that they've done just using something as simple and pedestrian as escalators and using them new ways to get people to move around a city. And this change in the social fabric there has been profound. Los Angeles now, really a car-centric capital of the United States, is building protected bike lanes, is building a bus rapid transit network, dramatically expanding its transit systems and creating livable, walkable, great streets programs in downtown. So really, I think you're seeing a new road order out there from cities, not only in this country, but around the world.
One of the chapters in your book, Fatalities, Deaths Caused by, I guess, Poor Design of Cities. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, one of the tragedies is our streets have really been designed to move cars as fast as possible from point A to point B, and it's left all of the rest of the ways that a street is used by the side of the road. I mean, our streets are actually sick. In the U.S., we spent the last century building our cities around the car, but we really damaged our cities in the process, and we're getting diminishing returns on the investment. You know about the congestion, but we've got 33,000 traffic deaths a year on U.S. streets. You know, if this was any other field, this would be a catastrophe, and it's a public health crisis. It's right up there with gun violence. But people tend to look at it like, oh, well, that's just the price of doing business in the big city. And that's not true, and it doesn't have to be that way. And we can redesign our streets so that they are safer for everybody, whether you're walking or you're biking, you're on transit. And we absolutely have to do that because we need to have a new democracy for our streets that goes beyond the highway hypnosis that's really ruled the road for far too long.
What can listeners do if they want to see some of these positive changes happen in their cities?
I think it's really important that people who live in cities start to demand these kinds of changes, because I think a lot of public officials might assume that they're not wanted or needed. But I think we're finding actually a lot of the best ideas are actually coming from the public themselves. There's plenty of examples of a lot of these ideas coming through at community meetings. But the demand really needs to be heard. And also, I think government has a big role in fostering this kind of exchange. We established a lot of programs where people could apply for certain types of street redesigns. So we wouldn't go out and ask them, do you want this? We would say, here's something we can offer, and communities could opt in. So we could use this kind of procedure to create neighborhood slow zones or to install bike racks or to find locations for installing bike share. this really turned the dynamic on its head, and it really empowered neighborhoods to think differently about their streets. And instead of the government just saying no, to say, here's what you can say yes to. Here are many different options for the streets that you want to be able to see. And I think that created a really productive relationship between the city and the officials.
What about public transit, buses, subways? How do those fit in with this kind of thinking of changing the designs?
Transit is the backbone of most cities. Everything is tied to our public transportation system. Even the price of a piece of pizza is tied, not officially, of course, but tied to the cost of a subway ride. And the transit strategies that we pursued in New York City were about actually using our streets as the red carpet for buses. And so, really, people looked at buses as a joke. They were not seen as very sexy. Buses are about as sexy as Amish dresses, and nobody really likes to focus on them. They've really been a stepchild in the transportation network. But what we did was, it didn't take a lot of time and it didn't take a lot of money, unlike many transit capital projects. We could literally build in new forms of mobility right into the streets just by striping in a rapid bus line and making it easier for people to get on and off the bus, pay before they get there, change our traffic signals so that they prioritize the bus, gave it the green signal longer, and it had a huge impact.
Well, that idea and many, many more are in the book Street Fight, Handbook for an Urban Revolution. Jeanette Sadiq Khan and Seth Solomonow, the authors. We want to thank you so much for joining us today on InfoTrack.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
You're listening to InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up. You can go farther and save on full synthetic with our oil change special. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $33.99. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Let's face it, winter can be a hard season. It's cold pretty much all the time. Blizzard. You have to shovel. Another blizzard. You slip on ice. But you know what makes winter suck a little less? Getting a free phone. Join Cricket Nation and get a free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G. Ooh, ouch. Welcome to enjoying more. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. Must open a new line on the $60 unlimited plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See cricketwireless.com for details.
Research shows that changing one simple thing in how colleges teach science, technology, engineering, and math to minority students can get far better results. InfoTrack's Roy Mackey is back with the story. Roy?
Thanks again, Chris. Our guest is Professor Jason Wiles. He's an associate professor of biology at Syracuse University, and he led the study. So, Professor Wiles, you were studying college students and how they learn STEM subjects, that is, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Tell us exactly what you were looking at in this study.
First of all, we were going off the understanding that traditional lecture is really not a way that people learn very well, and trying to find some ways that we could get students more active and taking ownership of their learning and participating in it instead of in a passive fashion. And another concern that we had was the fact that we see a lot of disparity in the general population in terms of diversity and what we find among students who are getting degrees in STEM fields and people who participate in STEM fields professionally. So we'd like to see the diversity within STEM fields mirror that of the general public, and we're trying to figure out ways to make that happen.
And so one of the primary focuses of this was closing the achievement gap between minority and non-minority students?
Yeah, and when we say minority students, we're talking about students from populations that you see underrepresented in STEM fields. And when we were looking at particularly the failure rates or the withdrawal rates from the gateway courses, we see that it is these underrepresented minority students that had much higher rates of course incompletion or failure in the course. And we wanted to see, is there anything that we're doing that might change that? And we found a few things that work.
And tell us what did work.
Well, the thing that we're working on right now has to do with peer-led team learning. It's an active learning method where you get students who have succeeded in the course before, maybe they're a year or two older than the students who are currently taking the course. They come back and they lead the students who are currently taking the course in very specific directed problem sets that are related to the course material. But the thing is, the leaders that we invite back are not teachers. They're not tutors. They are leaders of these groups, and their job is to lead their group to the solution of these problems that they don't have the answer to. So it's really a social, interactive, team-building enterprise where the leaders are near peers to the students who are in the course. And they are kind of more like the students than the instructors you would normally find in a traditional lecture section. So if you have, say, an underrepresented student who is thinking about what does a scientist look like, they're not generally thinking about themselves. So what we're trying to do is to have leaders in the gateway courses who are much more like the students that we're reaching, so that we change the identity piece of what does a scientist look like, and maybe it can look like me.
Professor, how significant of an improvement were you able to measure?
Well, it's certainly statistically significant, but it's also quite striking. We were seeing as much as 40% failure or withdrawal rate among our underrepresented minority students who weren't engaging in PLTL, whereas those who did were much, much lower in terms of their failure rate and no different statistically from the non-underrepresented students. And it does seem to be related to the peer-led team learning experience because this is in isolation or controlling for prior achievement.
Do other universities use peer-led learning, or is this a relatively new idea?
Well, it's been around since the 90s at least, and lots of universities do use it. But the thing is that whatever someone calls peer-led team learning may not be. When we pitched the idea to the National Science Foundation for funding for this project, they wanted to make very sure that we were going to follow the established peer-led team learning workshop model. And we do, and we've had good results doing that. But there are a lot of groups, a lot of universities that have peer instruction of one form or another that doesn't actually meet the criteria of true peer-led team learning. You can't just throw kids into a room undirected and say, talk about science and expect that it's going to go well. It might, but this method that we have is much more prescribed and there's a lot more structure to it. And the students that we have as leaders are trained in group leadership, so we have a good idea that what's going on in these peer-led team learning sessions is more like what should happen.
Interesting study. Professor Jason Wiles, Associate Professor of Biology at Syracuse University. Thank you for joining us on InfoTrack.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
And that's it for this edition of InfoTrack. InfoTrack is a production of Syndication Networks of Chicago. Special thanks this week to InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey and our executive producer Randy Meyer. I'm Chris Whitting, inviting you to catch us next time on another edition of InfoTrack.
It was the 14th of October, and that t-shirt off your shoulder. I was drunk, said I was sober, and you said, yeah, right. We were talking for a minute, then some guy tried to cut in. You took my hand, and we pretended like I was your guy. Whoa, and I tried to guess your middle name for 30 minutes, but we played that game. That mango reader you were drinking, and that Coldplay song that you were singing. And I bet right now you're probably thinking that it's crazy. I remember every detail, but I do. From your blue jeans to your shoes, girl, that night was just like you, unforgettable. And we were buzzing, taking shots like it was nothing. Did the running, man, you loved it, yeah, you laughed out loud. You brushed away your blinder and you kissed me out of nowhere. I can still show you the spot where everything went down. Whoa, I told you I was gonna marry you. You probably didn't think that it was true.
we jumped in right off the deep in that mango reel. You were drinking in that Coldplay song that you were singing, and I bet right now you're probably thinking that it's crazy. I remember every detail, but I do. I can still smell your perfume. Girl, that night was just like you, unforgettable. From your blue jeans to your shoes, girl, that night was just like you, unforgettable.
Last night I had a crazy dream. Wish was granted just for me. It could be for anything. I didn't ask for money or imagine Malibu. I simply wished for one more day with you. One more day. One more time. One more sunset. Maybe I'd be satisfied. But then again, I know what it would do. Leave me wishing still for one more day with you. First thing I do is pray for time to crawl. I'd unplug the telephone, keep the TV off. I'd hold you every second, say a million I love yous. That's what I'd do with one more day with you. One more day, one more time, one more sunset, maybe I'd be satisfied. But then again, I know what it would do. Leave me wishing still for one more day. One more day, one more time, one more sunset, maybe I'd be satisfied. But then again, I know what it would do. Leave me wishing still one more day. One more day. Leave me wishing still one more day with you.
Different round here. We're breaking 18 wins. said, comb your hair. She said, some kids don't. And her parents' dreams went up in smoke. They said, you can't leave. She said, yes, I will. They said, don't see him. She said, his name is Bill. She's on a roll and it's all uphill. She's a wild one with an angel's face. She's a woman child in a state of grace. When she was 3 years old on her daddy's knee, he said, you can be anything you want to be. She's a wild one running free. She loves rock and roll. They said it's Satan's time. She thinks they're too old. They think she's too young.